Well, for both of you guys, what role does the special teams have in your careers and in their pitch to you? How much was special teams involved?
Yeah, it's big. You know, it's 1/3 of the game. You know, it's something that really can flip the field. You know, obviously just experiences in the past. I mean, it can really have a lasting impact on the team, just creating a long field for the defense, you know, for ours, and, you know, a short field for our offense. So, you know, when you put the team in good positions, then you have a lot more success.
How much did they talk to you guys about? I'm sorry, if you want to answer.
I was just going to touch on, you know, special teams being a very important facet of the game. Obviously, a game changer at any given time, you know, field position. The way you play, you know, Coach Kelly's definitely expressed to us his feelings towards how important special teams is for the game, and what he expects us to do and help with special teams as we get underway here.
How much did they talk to you about coming in here and having the opportunity to compete for a starting job at safety and outside linebacker?
I think that's one of the biggest things, you know, that we plan on doing. You know, no matter who it is, you know, we're going to push whoever it is, you know, for any position to come in, help the team win. And I think I speak for Brian as well, you know, just to, you know, make the team as best we can.
Most definitely. Obviously, we're brought in and given a role, but, you know, we also take it very seriously to create a competitive environment and push each other as everybody else on the team. We know that'll definitely help. You know, push the team to the level that obviously Coach Kelly wants to take the team. You know, we really look forward to getting out there playing and competing with all these other guys that we just keep hearing great things about.
It seems like Chip Kelly obviously has a concern for all phases, and special teams apparently is really important to him. Has he expressed that to you guys, how important special teams should be important to everybody? But I'm saying it looks like more than other coaches, he really puts an importance in special teams.
I mean, he's kind of told me that really, you know, your special teams your backups are really only as good as, you know, your special teams and the backups that you have. Being able to have confidence in the players that you have on special teams to be able to step in to a defensive role if there's an injury or something, you know, God forbid something happens to one of the starters, but being able to be, you know, agile, athletic, you know, big, strong, fast, tenacious, things of that sort that kind of take a special person on special teams. You know, he definitely has expressed what his feelings are towards it.
Hey, Chris, you played behind what might be the best safety combination in the league. What'd you get from that experience with them, and how much did that keep you from actually playing defense?
Yeah, I think that's really a lot of the part why I didn't play a lot of defense, you know. My rookie year, I came in, I played underneath Deshaun Golson, and then for the past 3 years, I've been underneath Earl Thomas. So, you know, it's developed a lot in me. It's really pushed me as an athlete. You know, Earl's phenomenal. I mean, I've learned so much from him, not only just on the field, but off the field. You know, a great relationship with him, and, you know, just the mentality that he brings has really rubbed off on me, and, you know, I'm ready to bring that here to Philly and, you know, ready to, you know, go out here and execute.
Chris, there were reports that it was down to the Eagles and the Redskins. Some people actually thought maybe the Redskins had it.
Yeah.
What happened, and was it just you choosing the Eagles over the Redskins?
Yeah, there's quite a few teams in the mix. There's at least three or four, and, you know, yeah, it kind of came down between those two, you know, toward the end. And, you know, really just felt like this is a great situation. You know, obviously I know the special teams coordinator, Coach Phipp, and, you know, what Coach Kelly's been able to do here, and, you know, just watching the teams. You know, we watch film on everybody, you know, throughout the year. And so when you really start evaluating and seeing what their team's been able to do, the culture here, the attitude, you know, the talent on the roster, it was just such an attractive fit for me, and, you know, really excited to be here and be a part of this great organization.
Is part of that the fact that you think the Eagles have a better chance to go further than the Redskins?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think it's just, I think almost more than anything, it's just with Coach Kelly's trying to do with Coach Pete Carroll, what he was trying to do, they're very similar along, you know, it's very unorthodox. There's a lot of science behind what they're doing. You know, the approach is very similar. You know, the scheme schematically on special teams, very similar. So, I'm, you know, really kind of just be sliding into, you know, what I was doing over there, and it's going to be pretty seamless.
Both of you guys, when you look at what the Eagles have done so far in free agency and this offseason, building off of last year, what are your impressions of this team going forward after what they've done?
I feel like coming off of a season last year, they've built up a lot of momentum coming into this season. And from what I see in free agency, obviously with the acquisitions of us and Sproles, I've just heard we were able to acquire Sproles. I mean, it's looking really good. You know, we're definitely going to be able to keep the stride from last season.
Brian, I'm sure you probably feel a little at home here. You know, all the Houston Texans that were former teammates. Have you had a chance to talk to Barwin or D'Amico or any of the guys from?
Yeah, you know, they reached out to me when they found out that Philadelphia was an option. I reached out to them, told them that I was on my way up here, and I was actually really excited. It was definitely a relief to know that there was going to be familiar faces in the locker room. It helped the transition be a lot easier. That way I can just come in, get straight to work, focus on football, and I don't have to worry about the other things, the little things that can be distracting.
Brian, how difficult was it for you to leave Houston, the team that gave you, I guess, what you call a second chance to get into this game?
It was difficult. You know, obviously, being a restricted free agent, my idea was that I was going to stay in Houston for at least one more year. You know, I've kind of planted my feet in Houston with family and stuff like that. But, Philadelphia is an amazing organization, and I'm definitely happy to be a part of it, and I'm ready to go.
Chris, you guys played against the Saints in the playoffs and everything, and I'm sure you went up against Sproles on special teams, if not on defense.
Absolutely.
If you could just describe what that was like, preparing for him.
He's that guy that, when you prepare for, more than any other returner, he's got a dangerous side to him. He's got an edge. He's got an ability. I think the thing that really goes understated is everybody talks about how short he is, but I think that's really such a great advantage to him. He's got a low center of gravity. I think it's really hard for a lot of guys to dip, to get on tackles, and then he's so powerful. He really is able to get back upfield. So, obviously he's shifty. That's stating the obvious. All you guys can see that. But one of the things that I've kind of heard from across the league is just his work ethic and his ability in practice to perform. And I think that's going to be a huge asset to the mindset of this team. And I think he really offers a unique quality in that regard to our organization.
Did you guys know, either of you know much about the fact that you used to practice on Tuesdays before you signed here?
I didn't know very much. I've actually heard a little bit about it, but from the results that he got from it last year compared to what they were doing the year before that, it seems like it's working. So I'm open to change. Obviously, being a part of this business, you have to be okay with certain transitions and stuff like that. So I'm pretty excited to get out there and see what he has going for us.
So you never felt compelled to call Connor or D'Amico to ask those guys what was behind that thinking?
No, not at all. It was actually explained very well behind the thinking. Last year the Eagles, I don't think, placed anybody on IR, so I'm okay with that. And if it's based around the program and the way he's running it, I'm okay with that.
Chris, can you offer a couple examples of the things that they were doing in Seattle that you referenced that you think is going to be similar here, kind of being out of the box?
I think it's just the mindset of guys. I think that's the biggest thing. You kind of see the culture in our locker room now. Just from talking around people around the building and seeing the guys that they're acquiring through free agency, they're getting a certain mindset of guy and of a player. And so I think when you see, those guys who are cut from the same cloth, kind of all come together, I think it's infectious. One guy sharpening the other, they're feeding off each other. And, everybody's trying to compete and push the bar and, really trying to win. And in regards to the questions about practice, man, we're here to try to win football games, and we're here to win a championship. If we need to practice on Sunday before the game, we'll practice on Sunday before the game. So, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, we're here to do whatever it takes to win. So,
Ryan, you got some attention 2 years ago for that play where you lost your helmet against Tennessee and went and made the tackle head-on helmet without it. Can you kind of recount that play, and is that pretty much the way you play special teams? I mean, that kind of fearlessness?
That play in general, no, I wouldn't advise anybody. In fact, the reason why my helmet came off is because I was getting manhandled a little bit. I was being blocked, and my helmet came off and he stopped, and I don't really recognize that word, so I kept going. I noticed Mariani was up the sideline, and I wasn't just going to let him score. So. In fact, I was kind of thinking about what Coach Joe Marr was going to say to me about how bad I was getting blocked. So I just continued to make the tackle.
Brian, you took an unusual path through the NFL. Can you kind of fill us in on those years before?
It was a long journey. It was definitely a lot of fun, and I don't think I'd be standing here talking to you today if it wasn't for that journey. Played a year for the University of Idaho out of high school. Unfortunately, I didn't realize you had to go to class and get good grades in order to play football. Had to learn that the hard way. I took a year off, come from a pretty humble beginning, blue-collar family, decided to go back and work with the family. I thought that was going to be something that I'd do just like, generations before me. After about 3 months, I realized that wasn't something that I wanted to do, decided to go back to school, found my way down to Long Beach City College, played 2 years there. There's a real great guy, Bobby King. He came and found me from West Texas A&M at Long Beach City. He recruited me to the Panhandle of Texas, played there for 2 years. Unfortunately, my senior year, got into some trouble. There was some character issues that people were questioning when I was coming out my senior year. Coach King, fortunately enough, he was brought up onto the staff with Wade Phillips when he came to Houston from Dallas. And, Coach King did a great thing for me, and, I feel like I owe him a lot, stood up for me, put his name on the line, told the Houston organization that, it was a misjudgment, that I don't have character issues, that I'm a good guy, a good quality guy, I work hard. I've always worked hard for everything I have. So, that's kind of why Houston sits close to my heart, because they did kind of give me a shot when nobody else was really batting an eyelash. So it was a long road, but I ended up where I wanted to be at the beginning of that journey. So I can't complain, and I'm gonna give praise to God, because I know that I'm definitely blessed, and He's a lot of the reason why I'm here as well.
Sorry, you said when you went back to work with your family, what was the business?
It wasn't working with the family. I come from pretty blue-collar family. They, have done whatever, whether it was working retail, military, however it goes. I actually got a job making concrete railroad ties for a company named CXT. It was backbreaking work for $10 an hour, and it was about 75 hours a week. I decided that I deserved an education over a broken back.
Did you really try to tackle a fire hydrant when you were a kid?
Yeah, actually, it was kind of a funny story. I was playing football with one of my mom's ex-boyfriends, and we were out there playing football. In the playground, there's a fire hydrant at the end of it, and I didn't see it when I was running, and came across it with my face first, and it kind of turned out to be an interesting story, but. It's led to me, tackling, as people say, they're not surprised to see me tackling people without my helmet on and stuff, because I started young.
And then, Chris, what's your path here? You were a walk-on, and then...
Yep. Yeah, I didn't receive any recruiting attention out of high school. I had one school, Western Michigan, give me a chance to walk on. Spent 2 years there. Facebooked one of the guys on the Wisconsin Badgers football team who was a walk-on.
Who was that?
Luke Swan. Yeah, he was the best receiver at the time, former walk-on. And asked him if he'd take my film to the head coach, and he said he'd look at it, and he did, and took it to the head coach, got a call, got invited to training camp, switched to defense, and got put on scholarship my fifth year in college, and was a team captain for the Badgers. So went undrafted to the NFL, kind of, real similar, and so, here we are today.
When do you guys get your Super Bowl rings, or did you?
I'm not sure yet. I think probably like in June, I'd say. Probably sometime in the summer, I've heard past Super Bowl. Super Bowl teams got them then. So,
49ers Seahawks rivalry is such a big deal. Was it strange for you? Did people want to ask you about it last year, having played for the 49ers?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was there with Coach Harbaugh, and a lot of the core guys on that team. I was there playing with them for the 49ers. So, coaching staff, players, all those guys, but have great relationships with them. Obviously, it's a heated rivalry, and one I'm sure everybody likes to watch. And so, it'll be fun to see how that one plays out.
Brian, Donnie Jones was talking yesterday about how you have the perfect special teams mentality. What is the mentality you need on special teams?
Kill, maim, and destroy.
All right. How about you, Chris?
I don't know. I mean, you watch film. I mean, what would you say? I'll talk about him for a second. I mean, this guy's a great player. You guys are going to see a guy who comes in, works hard, who's probably more athletic than you would think, and you know, does everything he needs to do. And so I'm thrilled to be playing with him. I think it's going to be a great compliment for sure.
What's the mindset you need to play special teams and embrace special teams?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it takes a unique person. I think, you know, so often people think about, you know, kickoff guys just run down the field and go tackle the ball carrier, which maybe some guys do, but it's a lot more calculated than that. So you have to have a person who can make decisions quick, read things really fast, and, you know, be athletic but have a lot of grit to them. So I really think special teams encompasses a lot about what a football player is. You know, it's a lot different mentality than maybe what a cornerback might be thinking or a certain guy like that. So a lot of different factors are involved for that.
Brian, your father was what, 7'4"?
My grandfather, yeah, he was 7'4". Unfortunately, he was not 460 pounds. There was a mix-up in the weight. He was right around 365. Okay. So he did have a little bit of a belly, but he was all legs. And you know, his head was a little lumpy from all the door jams that he was running into.
What did he do?
He was military. He was a World War II veteran. Unfortunately, his back was severed with a bayonet, and he was honorably discharged for that, as well as it was costing them too much money for his BTUs, or I'm not sure what they call it for the Army, but... It was costing him quite a bit of money to pay for his uniform and stuff because he was so big. But he was an MP for a while.